Time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Estrogen and prostate cancer. And of course, as men get older and older, their risk for prostate cancer goes higher and higher. So the question became, does high estrogen level increase your risk of prostate cancer? And of course, this is for men. And the short answer is yes. Higher estrogen levels are associated with a higher risk of prostate cancer. And this is because the high estrogen levels cause your prostate to compensate by producing dihydrotestosterone, which is a much more aggressive, more irritating form of testosterone. So what happens, and they're not writing that in this article, but what happens is the thyroid goes down a little bit. People don't take iodine. And when the thyroid goes down and the iodine goes down, the estrogen levels go up. And we're not sure, is it the estrogen levels going up that's causing the low thyroid and the low iodine? Or is it the low thyroid, low iodine causing the estrogen to go up? So we're not really sure, but it really doesn't matter because we know that it's the dihydrotestosterone that's been linked to causing high PSA levels, lower libido, loss of erectile dysfunction, increased prostate size. That's where it swells up, and it's even been linked to BPH, which is the swollen prostate, benign prostatic hypertrophy, and a higher likelihood of developing prostate cancer. So this is what's happening. This is the cascade that occurs. And that's where in naturopathy, we look at everything connected to everything else. And when one thing happens, it's another thing. So you have to follow the body as a whole. In 2006, there was a study that the researchers discovered that when lab animals were given doses of estrogen, the prostate cancer increased remarkably. It increased much, much higher. They also noted that even short courses of estrogen treatment results in a higher incidence of prostate cancer. So high estrogen levels may be the cause of the swelling of the prostate and the dysfunction of the prostate, and we now think that the estrogen may be increasing the risk of developing the prostate cancer. So lowering your estrogen levels will not just improve your mental health and your physical health and your prostate health, but it actually may save your life. So when you have high levels of estrogen, then also improving a general detoxification through the liver. And I pulled up some articles on the liver and what's happening in the liver because it's important. There's herbs like milk thistle, which has a combination in it called psyllium, schisandra and turmeric and broccoli and the catechins from green tea, plus the amino acids glutamine and taurine and cysteine and glycine. These are all essential to improving liver dysfunction and also thyroid, some of these for thyroid dysfunction. So these foods may also lower estrogen. The cruciferous vegetables, the mushrooms, the red grapes, the seeds of grapes, then the seeds and nuts. And then they wrote one specifically, which is pomegranates. So no question, pomegranates, and I've talked about pomegranates before, as being one of the highest anti-cancer foods that people can take. So now we come to the question of how does that estrogen get up, and does it affect the emotionalism of men? Because the age-old wisdom is that women are more emotional than men. Everybody talks about that. We've all heard that. Oh, yes, women are much more emotional. Well, sometimes this is meant as a positive. Women are seen as more nurturing and caring and more emotionally intelligent. Other times they are portrayed as less emotionally stable or more easily subjected to emotional manipulation. Have you ever wondered about the science behind this and why and how? What controls the emotions like this? Well, it's actually an incredible, interesting, and now it's becoming a complicated field of study, but it's brand new and it's really exciting. One thing scientists are still learning about is the multifaceted way in which estrogen makes women more emotional than men, or more accurately, more emotional than younger men. Because the science is clear. As men age, their testosterone declines and their estrogen rises. So again, more accurately, more emotional than younger men, not older men. Science is clear. As men age, their testosterone declines, their estrogen rises. And about the average age of 60 years old, old men have more circulating estrogen in his blood than a 60-year-old woman. So think of that. The 60-year-old man overtakes his 60-year-old wife with the amount of circulating estrogen. This means you might be closer to being emotionally female than the male by the time you get to be 60. So symptoms of high estrogen and low testosterone include, are you ready, hair loss, weight gain, stress, fatigue, loss of energy, mood swings, emotional instability, weight gain, male boobs, you've heard of that, male breasts, loss of sex drive and libido, and something that men didn't know about, but penile shrinkage. Some of those symptoms sound familiar to you, it's likely you're showing signs of higher estrogen levels and sometimes dangerously low testosterone levels. So this is the reason, as we get older, that men have higher and higher risks of prostate cancer. So that's quite unique, this two new studies here that I was reading from. One is because it happens automatically as we get older, and now, of course, the estrogen levels we now know cause cancer.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
One of the biggest studies and longest studies was done by a Russian MD, PhD, and his name was Ufi Ravnikov. And that, if you want to look that up, it's his name is UFFE-RAVNSKOV, Ravnikov. So anyway, MD and PhD, and he did probably the most studies over a very long period of time, following hundreds of thousands of people, and he wrote a book called The Cholesterol Myths, exposing the fallacy that saturated fat and cholesterol cause heart disease. Now, his book is now available free online in the internet. So you can just probably type in his name and cholesterol, and the classic book will come up, and you can now download it free from the internet. So again, the question becomes, why is it that the general population isn't told about that cholesterol really is beneficial, especially with people with cancer? Well, it finds out that that one drug, statin drugs, account for $100 billion a year for that one single drug, or class of drugs, let's call it that. And those are drugs that lower your cholesterol. And about one out of every four Americans over the age of 50 are currently prescribed a statin drug. And it's a drug with very serious side effects. This is certainly one issue that you really need to investigate yourself. People need to investigate it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. You can look up the studies yourself. You can go online, Google, does cholesterol cause heart disease? And again, cholesterol myths. So the research is very specific. Okay, and I'll give you just a sampling of the research that's out there. And the sampling of the research is shows one fact. Low cholesterol is dangerous. High cholesterol is not. And this one study, this comes from the European Heart Journal in 1997. And it talks about low cholesterol is associated with high mortality in patients with coronary heart disease. The relative risk of non-cardiac death was over 2 times higher in the low cholesterol group than in the control group. The next study was from the American Heart Association. That was June 1994, and it says falling total cholesterol was accompanied by a subsequent increase risk of death caused by some cancers, blood cancers, esophageal cancers, prostate cancers, and non-cardiovascular, non-cancer causes, particularly liver disease. And so it was increased for all of these risk factors were adjusted, and the higher the cholesterol, the less the risk factors. So the American Heart Association has known for at least since 1994 that low cholesterol is associated with an increased risk of death. And of course, they theorize that the disease the people died from caused the low cholesterol, something the study did not prove, because it cannot. It can only show association or links. But the American Heart Association does not deny that low cholesterol is associated with increased death. Another study in 1995 from the American Heart Association, low serum cholesterol, hazardous to health. And the next study was the American Journal of Cardiology. This was April 11th, and they said relationship between high-density lipoprotein cholesterol and survival survived at least to the age of 85 in men that had higher cholesterol. So in conclusion, after adjusting for all the factors with longevity, it states that the higher the HDL, and the higher the total cholesterol, they were significantly associated with survival of men over 85 years old. Another study from the Monthly Journal of the Association of Physicians in 2011, another study that the statin low cholesterol cancer, it came and showed that the study showed healthy people have shown that low cholesterol is a risk marker for future cancers. And I've been saying for years on this show that cholesterol is actually a protective agent for cancers. Another study from the Journal of Evaluation in Clinical Practice, February 2012, is the use of cholesterol in mortality risk mathematical logarithms in clinical guidelines. Are they valid? And again, the next study, Online Journal of Biological Science, 2014, said that plant sterols that lower cholesterol might increase the risk for coronary heart disease. So again, lowering cholesterol is not a good idea. And so they also noted that there's a myth between the good and the bad cholesterol. So when the medical belief has been used to support $100 billion drug industry, one can only imagine the difficulty of confronting science that shows your basic premise that high cholesterol is a hazard to your health is flawed and lacking serious data. So, you know, what do you do? So this article goes on, and it states that, as I'm going down the article, statin drugs have serious side effects. And one of the most serious side effects is that it causes muscle damage. Crestor, Lipitor, Zocor, all of these, everything changed because the marketing laws in 1997 finally allowed pharmaceutical companies in the U.S. to advertise their products directly to consumers. Now, in Europe, that's not legal. You can, drug companies cannot advertise directly to the consumer. So, have you ever noticed, you know, the advertisements, talk to your doctor about this drug and ask him if you think you need it. So you go into the doc, the patient says, hey, I heard about this new drug. I think I want to try it. So it's no longer what the doctor feels is necessary. It's what the client is thinking and seeing on television and wants to go ahead and take the new type of drug. In late 2011, Pfizer, the patent on Lipitor expired, and a couple of months later, the FDA issued its first warnings against the statin drug, which includes liver injury, memory loss, muscle damage, and heart death. So again, the heart is made out of muscle. Why would we take a drug that increases damage to the heart? It just doesn't make sense. So another thing that is a side effect against these statin drugs is type 2 diabetes. And again, studies showing that women taking statin drugs double their risk of breast cancer.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Dr. Perlmutter, and he's out of Florida, and he's probably one of the foremost on oxygen therapies. He was in the Navy and doing the most research on hyperbaric oxygen and disease. anyway, he came out with a very long-term study, and it was in the Journal of the American Medical Association Neurology, and he talks about, and again, there's about four or five other articles. His research shows that there's an association between low serum cholesterol and cerebral Alzheimer's. And it was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Neurology. It gained a lot of attention to the press, but somehow the study, of course, was not looked at, and they didn't like the results of that because it stopped people from taking the statin drugs. And but the study showed that elevated cholesterol levels, especially HDL and the LDL, and they found there's two groups of LDL cholesterol. There's the small, round, dense particles, and then there's LDL particles that are large, and they actually call them fluffy. And so the higher the HDL, good cholesterol, and the low-density lipoproteins, supposedly the bad, but in the form of the high fluffy, it showed that that actually reduced the amyloid plaque in the brain, and it actually lowered the risk of getting Alzheimer's disease. So, again, I could keep reading on and on about the studies, but you can look these up now yourself, and you can find, oh my gosh, that higher cholesterol lowers your risk of Alzheimer's, and high cholesterol lowers your risk of heart disease. Now, these are things that are the exact opposite of what's given to the American public. So, again, you're not going to get that information anywhere except on a show like this. And, again, it doesn't make sense that so many of these are not really looked at by the general public. So, again, you know, we have to question that, wonder, what is it? Is it always money? That's the question. Is it always money that determines what information is getting out to the public? And when you're talking drug companies, and one drug giving $100 billion with a B, you know, that has to create some kind of dramatic incentive to make your case. You know, that a lot of people's entire professions have been built around the fact that cholesterol causes heart disease, it increases your risk of every form of heart stress, so take statin drugs. There even was a push to put children on statin drugs as a prevention. So, again, we see all of this craziness around us, and again, only on a show like this will you get that information that I think is the truth, because I've been doing this for about 40 years as a naturopath. Follow all that information over the last 40 years, and you'd get the same exact results that I do. So another interesting study, and that's about GMO foods, and that's genetically modified foods. Well, in this particular case, I want to talk about genetically engineered salmon, and that's coming to a store near you, and they're calling it Frankenfish. Frankenfish coming to a store near you. Fish actually is a wonderful food, because eating fish, especially cold water deep sea fish, mm-hmm. is one of the best foods to protect your heart. Well, anyway, which fish do you always hear about? as the most beneficial. You know, when you're hearing about fish.
Salmon?
Salmon, exactly. Nice pink color.
Yeah.
They found out that farm-raised salmon is not pink. It's white. And, of course, we can't be selling fish that's white, you know, when it's labeled salmon, yeah. Because what does every customer know?
Yeah.
Every customer is looking for what? So what do they do when they harvest the salmon? They put them in big tanks with red dye in the water. And they let them, you know, live for another 3 or 4 hours, breathing this red dye, which puts all of that red color throughout all their tissue. So now the fish is taken out, gutted and killed, and basically you look in the supermarket and you see that nice bread red color, and it goes, ooh, let me have that one. Because that red color, everybody goes, oh, well, that's a beautiful piece of salmon. But what about if you thought and you didn't know that that red color was artificially induced by red dye? I can just think of like red Kool-Aid without the sugar in it or something. You know, would you want to be eating fish like that? Yeah. Or would you want to know that? Right. And if you found out that it's not true and it's not labeled and that you were actually being misled, how would you feel about that? You know, they're going, here I am making a health choice, you know, to better my health, and you find out that it's not really going to better my health. So anyway, the name of the article, Genetically Engineered Salmon Coming to a Store Near You. And then the byline is Frankenfish Coming to a Store Near You. And you might not even realize that you've been serving it to your family for a long time. And the FDA removed the last roadblock to genetically engineered salmon hitting the supermarket shelves. The GE salmon will have to follow the labeling guidelines spelled out in the GMO labeling law passed by Congress in 2016. Now, let me ask you, doesn't that sound good, like that Congress passed a labeling law for GMO foods? Okay, so here's the thing that we don't know, or we didn't know, is that the only indication the consumer really has on the new labeling, the scrambled QR code. Do you know what those QR codes are? You know, those lines and codes?
Yeah,
okay, well, that's where the label is. One of those lines means genetically engineered. So how many people go around checking those codes, you know, or having an app on your phone where you can just shine it and check those? Think of that. You know, we see these codes on all the foods and all the packaged foods. They have these little lines, QR codes, and then, but the only way you can tell that it's genetically modified, it's not like they're putting a sign on the fish that says genetically modified salmon. No, it only has to be labeled in that QR code that is demanded on foods. And the FDA approved the salmon in 2015, making it the first genetically engineered animal approved by the FDA for eating. In 2016, however, Congress ordered the FDA to stop the GE salmon from entering the U.S. market until there were labeling guidelines in place so that people would know how to find out that they're eating genetically engineered foods. The FDA then issued the important ban on GE salmon, preventing that from coming until they finally came up with this new labeling law, and the FDA lifted the ban on the genetically engineered salmon. Major retailers like Safeway and Target and Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, just to name a few of the supermarkets in the country, they pledged years ago not to carry the genetically engineered salmon. So now that it's been okayed for sale, and it looks so pretty when you put them next to each other, that bright red pink color is just, you know, you're going to go, oh, I want that one. Look at the color of that. And so now, you know, when you're talking again billions of dollars, are we going to talk about that these supermarkets are going to continue their pledge, or are they going to go ahead and actually carry the genetically engineered foods? My guess, unless they're really maybe a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's, which specialize in health foods, they may. But it's very difficult for a store not to cave when it means making a sale or not making a sale. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I want to point out to you that you want to make sure that you're buying the salmon, it says ocean fresh or no genetically modified, you know, wild caught salmon. And now the other thing is about the wild caught salmon is it's depending upon where you're buying it. I would be hesitant about buying wild caught salmon in the Pacific Ocean. Because of Fukushima in Japan, that radiation has been going, what? I think it's been since May, June, or July, I think, of 2010, when that Fukushima happened and the tidal wave was there.
Right.
And basically, from then on, we've had tons and tons and tons of radioactive water going into the ocean. And we've seen, these reports where it shows the currents and where this radioactivity is going. And it's now, if you look at these from NASA, they follow these currents and through the satellites, it's now everywhere on the Pacific coast. So again, it's almost like if you can, go online and look up small portable Geiger counters. And you can get one now for under $100. And I've seen them, a small Geiger counter where it can check, you know, it's the size of a cell phone or even slightly smaller. And you can then go to the supermarket when you buy your food, check for radiation. And they make different sizes and different intensities, but you can get a small portable one just to measure the food that you're being exposed to eating. And if it's radioactive, don't eat it. I'm seeing we need to take our break. Yeah. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, good morning.
This is from Maria, yeah. And she says, I have a huge concern, Eliezer Ben-Joseph. I lost my youngest son, who was a gentle giant, on the 16th of May. He went to a medical clinic, which he was told he had the flu. They administered IVs and prescribed Tamiflu. They sent him home. He kept taking the Tamiflu. However, he didn't get better. Then he went to North Central Hospital on Stone Oak area, where they said he no longer had the flu. However, he needed to let it run its course. They wanted to release him only after several hours. They noticed he had a high heart rate and low oxygen levels. After several hours in ER, they finally admitted him. He had the flu, pneumonia, and a blood infection.
Oh, my.
Men and women need to get checked. Don't take these things for granted, please. My beloved son left his wife and a 2-year-old baby princess behind.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. So that's Maria?
Yeah, that's Maria. She's one of our...
Long-term listeners.
Long-time listeners. And
our heartfelt condolences.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her family member is one of your patients as well.
Okay, well, yeah. Our hearts go out to you. I'm so sorry. And that's the reason that we talk about taking your vitamins and taking essential oils. And there are some things, as an example, that will cure almost any viral disease known. And they're not really done in the hospitals. And one of them is a vitamin C drip. And if someone goes into the hospital and you have MRSA, you have a bacteria, you have a virus that just won't go away, I would have my family demand, not ask or request, but demand a vitamin C drip. And of course the hospital will say, oh no, we don't do those things. And you go, look, the law is very specific. If it says it will do no harm, then you have to do it. And so far all the research shows that vitamin C does no harm. And so you can demand that, and if they say no, you tell them that you're going to call an attorney. You know, and that's always those scary words when you talk to a big business. Because we know it worked. As an example, my mother-in-law was in the hospital at 88 years old, and she contracted MRSA. She went in for a knee problem because of her knee repair. And while she was there, she contacted MRSA. And it was a pneumonia, and her cardiologist came to us and said, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Your mother-in-law has MRSA, and at 88 years old, there's no way we're going to be able to fix it, so we're sorry. And he asked me, Eliezer, as a naturopath, what would you do? And I said, are you serious? You're really asking me? And I said, yes, absolutely. And so he said, I told him, look, get 25 grams of vitamin C, have the pharmacy mix it up, a sodium ascorbate with a lactated ringer, and then drip that 25 grams over a 2.5 hour period into her blood. And the cardiologist at the time said, well, that certainly won't hurt. And he said, I could do that. So I was flabbergasted because he said he would do it. He says, look, we have nothing else to offer. And if we do nothing, she's going to die. So he called down at the hospital, the pharmacy, and he said, mix me up a 25 gram vitamin C. Well, the pharmacy of the hospital said no, that they're not going to mix it, that we don't do vitamins at this hospital. And the cardiologist, who happened to be the head cardiologist of the hospital, said, look, you do what I say, I don't do what you say, you mix this up. And again he said no. So what he did is he called an emergency board meeting of the hospital board of directors. And he said, look, this is what's happening. I'm the head cardiologist. When I order something, I expect it to be carried out. If it's not going to be carried out, then never mind. Find another doctor. I'm out of here. Find another head cardiologist. Well, of course, at the time, the board didn't want to lose him because he's such a good cardiologist. So they said, okay, we will mix this up for you. So they mixed it up, and it took 2.5 days, actually, before we got it, this whole process. But we finally got it. They hooked her up on the IV. It was in the afternoon. They dripped it for 2.5 hours. Well, the next morning, She was 75 to 90% better. Her lungs were clear. The cardiologist says, well, I can't explain it. And he says, the only thing I could see is that this vitamin C drip worked. They did it another time the second night or second afternoon. And she was so good and so much better that they let her go home the very next day. So instead of dying from MRSA, she did well with the vitamin C drip. When my wife comes on, I'm sure she'll reinforce that. And
I have a firsthand experience when my dad went in and he got MRSA in the hospital. When I asked for the vitamin C drip, the doctor said it was medical malpractice.
And
that's what he told me. And I was all like, wow, since when has vitamin C become medical malpractice?
Right. Now, that was actually a lie. And all the studies around the world shows that a vitamin C drip will help almost any virus. And that's viruses including Ebola and viruses including SARS and the bird flu virus and any viruses. And so those are really important. There's another thing that's very positive against every known virus, and that's ozone therapy. You can get an ozone machine that produces medical-grade ozone. Ozone is electrified oxygen, and you can have that dripped again. Either they take out maybe a liter of blood and they ozonate it with anywhere from 500 to 1,000 units of vitamin C, or excuse me, the ozone. So many mLs of ozone, and basically they drip that back into his body, his own blood, and that highly ozonated red blood cells will again kill any of the known viruses in the body. And a third thing that we know will kill viruses is colloidal silver. And if you have high-grade colloidal silver in distilled water, or mix it with a little saline, well, then you can inject that, just the straight colloidal silver. It does sting a little. That's one of the ones it stings while it's going in. But that also will go after any known virus or bacteria. So there are things that you can do and actually live and not... not succumb to losing a family member. But there was something that you mentioned before we went to the break. Now, I wanted us to cover that again. How come we don't know this information?
Yeah.
How come they don't tell us? And not only do they not tell us, but when you look at all of the food that if you go to a supermarket, a regular supermarket, how much would you say that food, all of that food in there, how much would you say is would consider super healthy, meaning organic, with no additives, no sugars, you know? And when you look at it, what are most people buying? Packaged foods.
Yeah.
You know, regular packaged foods full of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. What they're not being told is that these fungicides, pesticides, herbicides can wreak havoc on your immune system. And basically, you're not being told by the medical profession, you're not being told by the pharmaceutical profession that are putting all these chemicals, and you're not being told by the food packaging industry that they're putting all of these chemicals and preservatives, and that is what's affecting the immune system. But what we are being told, oh, you can eat whatever you want, don't worry about it. If you get sick, you'll come to the doctor, and we'll give you a pill with a green stripe, or we'll give you a pink pill, or one that's half white and half yellow, you know, but we'll find the right drug chemical so that you can continue your lifestyle. And think of it. How many people really know that eating regular food that you get in almost any supermarket is really toxic? Even all the fruits and vegetables in most supermarkets, are they organic?
No, they're conventional.
No, conventional, yeah.
So they're going to be sprayed with pesticides, herbicides.
Organics start with like 910, and all the conventionals are like 4100s.
Right, and so again, if they learn how to read those...
the stickers on the food,
right.
Yeah.
8.8 is GMO, I think it's...
Yeah, all I know is that the conventional, I think, was 41, and the organics are 9.10s.
So here we have, again, companies knowingly add chemicals that are harmful to the body, but it does make the food last longer and stay on the shelf longer. You go into the, like, cracker or cookie aisle, and you see some of these packaged cookies. How long do they last?
It's the food of the ancients.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was saying once, I even mentioned, I think, months and months ago, about a guy who was on YouTube, and he had one of those snowballs.
Oh.
You ever remember those pink snowballs?
Yeah, those will last forever.
With the coconut and on a Hostess cupcake. And they were still in the original package, and he said they were from the late 50s.
Wow.
And they still looked brand new.
Wow.
You know, so imagine if the bugs won't eat it, if the bacteria doesn't consume it, you know, you have to question. There was a great movie, what was it called? Super Size Me, you know, where this guy loved McDonald's. And so he made a film where he only ate McDonald's, whatever they served, for 30 straight days. And if the clerk mentioned, "Do you want to supersize that?" he had to say yes. So, he went to the doctor. He got all his blood tests before the experiment. And then he started McDonald's. He said for the first 3 days, he loved it. His Egg McMuffin, his lunch and dinner, either a fish sandwich, a chicken sandwich, or a Big Mac with fries and a chocolate malt. So by the third day, he goes, "I'm not feeling so well." And anyway, he was checked every week for the month. He was doing this for 1 month. And he would go to the doctor. His first week was over, and he had gained like 7 pounds in the week. And he looked at his blood, and the doctor said, "Hey, man, whatever you're doing, something's wrong. Your blood's going out of parameters."
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that documentary, and he was getting in bad condition.
Right, and by the time the month was over, they told him, "If you don't stop, you're going into liver failure."
Yeah.
You know, and so he'd gained 25 pounds over the month. He was tired. He wasn't sleeping well. He lost his sex drive, you know, and he went from loving McDonald's, thinking they're 100% okay, to now realizing, well, wait a minute, maybe it's not a good idea to eat like that.
Yeah,
that was, and I remember that at the end of that movie, if you let the credits run through and then waited another minute, all of a sudden the science project came on where he had bought hamburgers, you know, one from McDonald's, and one from like a restaurant.
Yeah, and he time-lapsed to see which one lasted longer.
Right, they were all under glass. And then he time-lapsed the photography. And the hamburger and french fries that he bought from just a restaurant, you know, after 1 week it was all moldy and nasty, where there was no change in the Big Mac or the french fries. And even after 8 months, he still showed photographs that the hamburger and French fries still looked as if they were just fresh, just coming off the rack. And he said there was no mold, there was no anything like that. So it was really an eye-opener for most people.
It was.
And if you can, look that movie up. It's called Super Size Me, and you can see the study, how he was. But I want you to wait for the very end and continue after the credits so you can actually see that study he did. Anyway, I heard the music, and we have to take our break. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph with Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Again, if you're forceful and you have a doctor that will work with you, you know, that's it's hard to find, and you have to be persistent. So, again, just so that you know, in the hospital, the law is clear. It says, if it will do no harm, they must go ahead and do the therapy. So, that's just something to be aware of. So, anyway.
There was a question, do the cocktail for vitamin C drip, as well with the colloidal silver.
And the ozone?
And the ozone, yeah. Is that possible to do like a cocktail like that?
I would not do it that way. Those are very specific therapies, and I would do those as a separate, because the silver is usually done with a syringe and it's a push, and the IV drip for vitamin C is a slow drip, and the ozone is a different kind of a drip. So, no, I would probably not do those together, and I don't think most of the holistic MDs that do that would do them together either. So, no, not to do them together. There's another drug that I want to talk about, because some of the newest research is not so good. But how many people would you guys say, do you know what a protein pump inhibitor is? It's the drugs that people get prescribed for ulcers, heartburn, and acid reflux. How many people do you think are taking heartburn medication like Nexium and Prilosec and Pepcid and Prevacid? How common are those drugs? Well, a new research has just come out, and this is brand new, and it says new research suggests that the drugs commonly used for heartburn, acid reflux, and ulcers may raise the risk of numerous fatal conditions, including heart disease and stomach cancer. So it says physicians often prescribe protein pump inhibitors, or PPIs they're called, to treat gastrointestinal conditions that involve an excess of acid production. Nexium, Prevacid, Prilosec, Protonix, and these are only some of the brand names. But there's more than 15 million people in the United States that take these prescriptions, and now it's even over the counter. You can buy omeprazole or Prilosec directly over the counter. The omeprazole, by the way, is the generic name for these drugs. And a new study appearing in the Journal of the British Medical Journal suggests that these drugs may actually increase the risk of death from various chronic health conditions. And the doctor professor of medicine at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. He was the senior investigator of the study. And he said that for the new study, they found that the PPIs are linked with a 17% higher death rate. And he examined medical data from medical records in the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And he followed thousands, almost 200,000 people in this cohort study on PPI prescription drugs. And the they followed again 57,000 people that received these H2 blockers, which is another kind. So you're having a total of well over 200,000 people that were tested. And the scientists clinically followed the participants, who were predominantly male, Caucasian, and 65 years or older, and they followed them for more than a decade. And they used the data to build a statistical model of the chemical. Well, this allowed them to estimate that during the time of the follow-up, there would be another 45.2 excess deaths per 1,000 people. And that's a pretty high number. So they found that the model showed that people taking these PPI groups, they had a much higher incidence of heart disease and fatal heart conditions. What was nice about this article is they had some what they called anecdotal evidence at the end on how to treat it naturally, and that's with using apple cider vinegar to help your acid reflux, and also there's some essential oils like fennel, anise, and peppermint. And they found that a small amount of apple cider vinegar, like a teaspoon, in a glass of water with the meal on, can help 80 to 90% of most people. The other 10% do react to the apple cider vinegar and can't take it. And again, I just want to leave you with the thought, if you're taking Prilosec or Nexium, one of the things they don't tell you is it has a 48-hour half-life. So if it's working, you can take that drug every other day or every one time in every 3 days, and it will still work, and yet it will cut your risk dramatically of getting those other fatal diseases. So it'll stop your acid reflux, stop your heartburn, but you can take the drug every other day or every third day. Just wanted to leave you with that so you know how to improve your outcomes. Anyway, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we will be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back. The studies that I quote from are very reputable medical journals, and they're usually done by researchers at some of the top universities.
Ariel is asking, can you please talk about Bell's palsy and recommended supplements? Thank you. I'm taking alpha-lipoic acid, 200 milligrams, twice a day, and B12.
It's a condition usually in the face where all of a sudden you'll see, you'll wake up one morning and half your face is drooping. You know, you can't raise one eyebrow, or you can't smile, only half a smile occurs. And so those nerves on one side of your face is affected. Now, it could take normally 5, 6, 8 months, even up to a year for those nerves to come back. One of the best things that you can possibly do is called oxygen therapy, or EWOT, exercise with oxygen therapy. One of the things you would do is 3 times a week, you would breathe a very high volume of pure oxygen, and you would then do that for 15 minutes, and you should notice within 1 week that the tingling and numbing in your face. Then what we do is we have you do certain exercises where you're doing in front of a mirror. One of the exercises is called Tiny Face Silent Scream. So can you imagine that? A tiny face where you scrunch up your face tiny, 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 and then silent scream where you, you know, open wide as if you're screaming. You open your jaw, your mouth, your eyes, and they do that. So the supplements that I would take is vitamin D, B complex, and again, instead of a bunch of bottles, I would have you take Prime Longevity, because one of the things that affects nerves is the lipoic acid, resveratrol, and astaxanthin, and all of the nutrients that you can't eat, lipoic acid, really important nutrients. So they're all in CQ10 at high doses. So instead of giving you a CQ10, a lipoic acid, and resveratrol separately, they're all in Prime. It's also got 300 milligrams of pomegranate extract. So very high grade, you'll get the B vitamins. And if you do that, and then I would add extra vitamin D, about 10,000 natural units I use of vitamin D3. And I'd probably take 5,000 units twice a day, and I would add that. And I usually now have been adding vitamin K to that. So vitamin K2 specifically, because that helps with sending the minerals back into the bones. So it's a very, very strong program. And you can usually get rid of that Bell's palsy within 1 to 3 months instead of almost a year. And it really sometimes miracles, and especially when you do those exercises. Tiny face, silent scream. So anyway, just to continue with that, what you can do, there was another major study from the Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan, and they analyzed data from randomized controlled trials that had compared people who took vitamin D supplements that were those who only took a placebo for 3 years. And they found that taking vitamin D can prolong life in people who develop cancer, according to a recent analysis of clinical trials. And this is a another pretty big trial, because they analyzed over 10 different trials that they followed for over 4 years, with a total of over 80,000 participants, and their average age was between 68 and 78, and they were both, most of them were female and some males, but they found a significant link between the use of vitamin D supplements and a lower risk of death to cancer over the follow-up period. And the analysis showed that the people who took the vitamin D supplement had at least 13% lower risk of dying from cancers than those who took the placebo. So no question about it. The findings were presented at the American Society of Clinical Oncology in Chicago, and that was just this past June 2019. So again, the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And so vitamin D is becoming more and more a vitamin that they think is one of the most important vitamins you can take. And actually, they've done enough blood studies now to say that if you can get your vitamin D level up to at least 70 to 75 in a blood test, you will cut your risk of every known cancer by 75%. Now, that's a huge number, an absolutely huge number. So it's something that you really want to look at. Vitamin D2 is a vitamin that doctors prescribe as a prescription. It's not the active form. It's more of a synthetic form. And the body uses the active form of vitamin D called vitamin D3. So there is a difference. The vitamin D2 is usually given out at about 50,000 units once a week, where we use the active form of vitamin D, and you can take anywhere from 5 to 10, you know, even more if your vitamin D is low, and that's the vitamin D3. So you can take 5, 10, 20, 25,000 units, even 50,000 units for 4 or 5 days in a row. In this case, actually, I think taking the vitamin is going to be better than being in the sun. Because what they don't tell you about being in the sun is when you the sun reacts on your skin, the ultraviolet light goes through your skin, reacts with cholesterol to produce vitamin D3, and what happens is you sweat. And if you notice, most animals groom themselves. They're licking themselves constantly, licking their fur. And then so they're re-getting in that sweat, or animals don't sweat, they usually sweat through their tongue. But they get the vitamin D from licking their fur. And humans have that vitamin D in their sweat. Now the problem is it can take up to 3 days to reabsorb that sweat content, and to reabsorb that. The problem is everybody's taking a shower and washing that off. So if you want to stink and just leave the sweat on so it reabsorbs back into your skin, that's one thing. Most people would rather not stink as much. We suggest taking a shower, and this is the time taking the vitamin is more socially acceptable. Okay. It's also very similar that when you take omega-3 fatty acids by taking fish oil, that fish oil can actually be healthier than eating the fish, because fish now have become highly contaminated, and we know that the contamination comes from the sea, and these fish eat other fish that are contaminated, and the bigger the fish, the more the contamination. That's why when I talk about eating non-genetically modified salmon, and also I would eat the salmon again, Atlantic salmon, more than West Coast salmon, and sardines, But if you eat those fish, that's one thing. Otherwise, taking a pill form of fish oil, that's going to be the way to go. And those big giant pills are about 1,000 milligrams. Another article that was really interesting, and it's one of my all-time favorite foods. I mean, if I had a choice of eating almost anything, this food, an avocado, would be my first choice. I love avocado.
Amen.
You know, I mean, most 95% of everybody I know loves avocado. And then there's this small percentage that go, oh, no, I can't eat avocado. They don't like the texture or something. And to me, it's like butter. It's like ambrosia. Mm. And it's so, so healthy. Well, anyway, here's an article that came out. And it's talking about avocado being a superfood. But it's also talking about that it's a food that will target leukemia cancer cells. So anyway, a lot of people don't realize that avocados are not vegetables. They're technically a fruit. Specifically, they're a single seed berry, and they come on a tree, and they're not vegetables. But anyway, they have a wide array of nutrients and that avocados can offer. They contain an anti-cancer compound that is beyond preventive with certain cancers. It's much beyond. It's actually a very strong anti-cancer, and it's called avocatin B, and it has been extracted to undergo trials for targeting cancer stem cells. And they've also found other benefits to avocado that make it a superfood. But they did a study at the University of Waterloo in Waterloo, Ontario, and Canada isolated this special fat called avocatin B from the avocado and discovered that it's effective against leukemia cells that can be a killer, acute myeloid leukemia or AML. So it's also acute myelogenous leukemia, acute granulocyte leukemia, and acute non-lymphocytic leukemia. But it's a form of blood cancer, which is most common in older people, and about a 90% diagnosed die within 5 years. But anyway, they discovered that people that eat avocados regularly actually did better with the avocado than those that did not take the avocado. And so... it said, though, that a lot of doctors dismiss the whole idea of avocado eliminating cancer cells. And it said one major reason for conventional oncology dismissal record of cancers reoccurring after claimed remission is due to cancer stem cells left intact while damaging and destroying normal cells. So they're saying it's just a kind of coincidence. But anyway, they found that this avocado in the study actually targeted the mitochondria in human cells and actually improved the functioning of the mitochondria. And this was actually published in mid-2015. So the Canadian team have now recognized that avocados, they have regenerative properties. And they want to do more studies on the avocado. They want to pursue more animal and human trials. And they're going to synthesize this avocatin instead of the whole avocado. And I'm thinking, if they extract it, it'll become a drug. But what I'm saying, eat avocados. No question about it.
Another one was, is GERD reversible with diet over time? And the other one question was, is there a side effect of taking too much magnesium? How much magnesium can a person take?
Yeah, well, the magnesium, too much magnesium, the first major symptom is diarrhea. So what you do, that's pretty easy to tell. Mostly magnesium oxide, but there's other forms. I don't use magnesium oxide. And you can take, there's some therapy studies that show that you want to do about up to 1,000 milligrams a day of magnesium. Now, that's a little high, so you may get that loose bowels effect. GERD, also what helps GERD is drinking water properly. And I've always talked about a glass of water an hour before each meal, during each meal that's room temperature, with a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, and then 2 hours after each meal. So those are going to become a difference in whether you get GERD or acid reflux. So another thing is ginger tea. Ginger is very good for that. Slippery elm is an herb. Marshmallow root is an herb for that. And taking food enzymes. Anytime you have a digestive issue, I would get food enzymes, My Nature Sunshine, or Proactazyme, or something like that. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning, again, Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. I'm a traditional naturopath. Today's show was brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. So I want to say thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week with another show. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.